The next presentation we have today is Sean Clark, and we're excited to have Sean here. He comes to us from Berea College in Kentucky, and they have a very unique model of experiential learning that's linked to their overall school model, which he's going to tell us about today. The name of his talk is Linking Academics and Farm Work, Experiential Agricultural Education at a Small Liberal Arts College.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you this afternoon. As was said, I'm from Berea College. Some of you may have heard of the institution. It's sort of an unusual institution as a liberal arts school, so I'll talk about that. But I also want to talk about how it's similar to other liberal arts schools. When you think about liberal arts education, you don't often, well, maybe in this room we do, but most people don't think about agriculture as being part of that. But we're seeing a resurgence in interest among students, and that's what I want to talk about here. Just click it, or, okay, there we go. A colleague of mine, Laura Sayre, we worked a couple years ago on a project trying to document student farms across North America. And from this graph, you can see the increase since the 1980s in the number of student farms at colleges and universities across North America. Many of these are in the Northeast and the Pacific. There's fewer in the South and in the Midwest. It's sort of a red-blue state phenomenon, it seems. But you can see that in the 1990s, we doubled from the 1980s, and then it tripled into the 2000s. And these are all kinds of institutions. All kinds of institutions. Some of these are land-grant universities. Some of them are public state universities that don't have extension or research responsibilities. Some of them are community colleges, and a lot of them are liberal arts schools. They range in size from being less than an acre, what most people might call just gardens, to being much larger. Some include livestock. Some are based on a CSA model. Some sell food to their dining service. But there's a lot of variety. But what pulls all these together is they're driven largely by student interest. Now, there's faculty and staff support that's usually essential to make these happen. And then there's also growing administrative recognition that students want these. And so administrators are finding funds to allow students to start these and then even grow them. One central question that both critics and supporters of student farms ask is, can these serve as realistic models of sustainability? Because sustainability is often what's used to justify having these farms. The argument is that agriculture as it's practiced today is unsustainable and that students want to explore other ways of doing it. So when we look at these student farms and ask this question, it brings up some interesting conversations, and that's one that we've been having on our farm now for the past decade. Some of the critics, and these come from newspaper articles, other kinds of articles, comments that have been said directly to me, and I'm summarizing them here. Critics: students at these liberal arts schools are privileged and they just get a chance to play farmer. The scale is often too small. No one could ever make a living from a farm that's less than an acre or several acres. They're subsidized by the institution through grants often. They're protected from the risks of the market. They're also heavily skewed towards organic. Almost all of the new farms that are starting on liberal arts schools have an organic emphasis. Few of them are driven by a desire to see what kinds of new GMO crops they can utilize. So, but when you look at the food system as a whole, organic is still a relatively small fraction of the total. And when those students go to their dining hall, they're eating a little bit of organic food, but most of it's from the conventional food supply. But before we can ask the question about sustainability, about whether or not these are really models of sustainability, we have to ask whose criteria or whose definition are we going to use. If the students who are asking for these farms are given the opportunity to express their interest, you get one definition. Then you ask the faculty who have been there longer, maybe are a little bit more skeptical. You might get another. Alumni might share another one. They certainly did with me when we started transitioning some of our acreage to organic. I heard some comments from some of our alumni that made me think a little bit. And then, or the government. I could list other sources, but this is important because if you're not agreeing on what the criteria are or what the definition is, it's hard to have a discussion about whether these are really models of sustainability. The Berea College farm started 140 years ago, and it wasn't designed to be a model of sustainability. It was designed to be a source of income for the college and a way to allow students to help fund their way through college. This was a liberal arts-based education. The institution had land. Cassius Clay provided the land to the institution, to John Fee, the founder. And initially they rented it out, leased it to other farmers. When they were looking for ways to cut costs, they said, we'll start using that land, and we'll grow our own food or some of it, and we'll allow students who don't have the ability to pay their way through school to work on the farm and then generate income so they can pay their way through school. Students were involved in all kinds of activities, as you can see in these photographs. They raised livestock, they raised crops, there's a cannery, hand-milking cows. Started with nothing more than an acre garden and a couple milk cows, and then it's grown today into a 500-acre enterprise. And from a distance, it might look very similar because students are, again, involved in all aspects, but there's some key differences. The technology is different. We have color photography also. Students are involved in different kinds of activities. The students come from different backgrounds. Many of them don't have agricultural backgrounds or only a moderate amount of experience in agriculture. The landscape around the farms is also different, and I mean that in a figurative sense. I mean the food system as a whole and where these farms fit in is quite different. In the 1930s, when we hit the peak number of farms, the Berea College farm was at its peak in terms of diversity, with a cannery, a poultry operation, cheese making, so many different kinds of enterprises that largely closed down right after World War II. Today we're trying to bring some of those back. Just to describe the institution and where the farm fits into the scheme of liberal arts education, we have 1,600 students, and they're mostly from the Appalachian region. The college is located right in central Kentucky on the western side of the Appalachians. Almost all of our students are Pell eligible. There's actually an income cap to get in. You can go on the website and see if you would qualify. Not you all literally, but maybe your kids. You can see if you would qualify, but based on the family size, the income, and how many other kids are in college. We're about 95% right now Pell eligible. There is no tuition. Nobody pays tuition. Some of the students pay room and board. Some of the students don't. It's all need-based. You might be asking, how do we afford that? It's an endowment. All the students are required to work a minimum of 10 hours a week all across campus, not just the college farm, but in the library, in the gymnasium, in the food service, janitorial work, grounds, many different jobs. We have about 30 academic programs, but students can also major in their own independently created major if they want to and are persistent. And the college farm is just one of 100 different labor programs we have on campus. Right now we have about 50 students majoring in agriculture and natural resources, and that's been fairly steady over the past 10 to 15 years. And we have about 50 students that work on the college farm, but those are not exactly the same 50 students. Today we have a horticulture enterprise that includes fruits, vegetables, herbs, mushrooms, flowers, plants, agronomic crops like corn, alfalfa, hogs, beef cattle, goats, and then a value-added marketing team which handles our farmers market. Students are involved in all of these. They can become members of a student management team for any of these enterprises once they put in a year into the program. As freshmen, they come in and they are expected to work in all areas of the college farm. And sometimes they don't necessarily want to. Might have a vegetarian or a vegan come in and they just don't want to work with hogs or cattle. But we actually make every student work in all their areas of the farm for one semester before they're allowed to specialize. Once they get the chance to, they don't have to, but if they want to, they can apply to become a member of a group and then they can apply to become a manager. So as a junior or a senior, they can be a student manager of one of these teams. And each one has a faculty mentor. We have weekly meetings, the whole group, all 50 students, the staff, the faculty, we pile into one room. And then each fall we have an annual planning and visioning workshop where we set goals 1, 3, 5 years into the future and then look back at the goals we set previously to see if we've made those goals, achieved those goals, see if they need to be modified in any way. But it provides a lot of opportunity for students to have a say in the direction of the farm, the future direction of the farm. This wasn't the case 10 or 15 years ago, but it is the case now. We made some changes in the late 1990s, and this is when I came on board with the college. There were two degree options in 1998 when I arrived, general agriculture and agribusiness. Very few students selected the agribusiness option. Most of them were in general agriculture. But there was a small but vocal group of students that were asking for training in sustainable agriculture, and they wanted a part of the farm where they could learn how to do organic farming. At this time, there wasn't any of that. That's why I got hired. So we added a third major to the department, and that was called Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Sustainable Systems. And this was intended by the chair at the time, I think, to quiet those students down and maybe attract a few more students into the program. I was given a small amount of the farm, the horticultural part, and that was transitioned to organic when I got there. And the rest of the farm, the 500-acre farm, and we had about, at that time, about 10 acres devoted to organic horticulture production. The rest of it was crops and livestock, heavy livestock emphasis. We had a lot of cowboys and cowgirls in the department. Okay, the rest of the students worked in that area. 4 years after that program was implemented, I did a survey with the students in our labor meeting. These are the students that work on the college farm, and I asked them this question: to what extent has your labor experience complemented your academic or classroom education? And for the most part, we were pretty pleased to see that most students thought it was complementing very well, much or very much. There's a few that say not at all, but it turns out these were mostly students who were majoring in other disciplines like art or political science or something that didn't relate directly to agriculture. At that time, 89% of the 35 students who replied were agriculture and natural resources majors in one of those three areas. The other ones had various majors. At the time, we had 40 students working on the farm, so 35 of the 40 replied to my survey. Ask them a similar question: what has it contributed to your education? Not specifically your major, but your overall liberal arts education at the college. Slightly better responses in that we have almost all the students are in the much or very much category. So we were pretty pleased with this. And of course, we pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, we must be doing a good job because the students, the client, the customers are satisfied. But the problem was that these two groups of students isolated into their own silos, and they never had to interact. They had different programs. Each one thought they were doing it right and that the other one was wrong, and they only had to interact a few times during their program. So we began to cut down the silos, both literally and figuratively, and this is one of our silos coming down that we recently got rid of. You can see the full video on YouTube or our Facebook page if you want. It's very fun. So we took those three majors. When I became the chair of the program, we took them and we put them all into one major with a common core. So because this is a liberal arts institution, the majors are pretty small. Most of what they take are general courses. It's designed for a general education to produce a citizen scholar, and the major is really a minor part of their whole program. But all students were required to take these courses, and then once they finished these, they could take whatever other courses they want to. So if they wanted to take all electives in animal sciences, they could do that. If they wanted to take all of them in the plant sciences, they could do that. It didn't matter. What's funny about this is that when I look back at the archives, in 1930 the college started to offer a program. 60 years after it had a farm, it began to offer an academic bachelor's degree in agriculture. And it had almost this identical core, which we came up with separately. The only thing that's different is the environmental science ecology component, all the rest of the classes. And, of course, some of them were called management rather than science. But very similar common core. Anyway, we put all the students in there. They all had to interact, face each other, talk to each other, and hear each other out. We also had to set some common goals for the farm because the farm was really our principal laboratory for teaching in the field. So we had a workshop where all students that were members of those teams and those managers were asked to participate. And this was actually easier than I thought to come together with some common goals. The first one was already pretty much established, that this was a laboratory where students gained hands-on experience. The second one was a little bit more controversial, And that was that these enterprises be sustainable agricultural production models, that these would be viable in the region where we live, the Appalachian region. Okay, so then we have to define what we mean by sustainable agricultural production. And, of course, there was decades of literature to draw on there. So we were able to do this, and we looked at the standard stool with the fourth leg added, but the environmental side, minimizing the negative effects to the environment. It's got to be economically viable, or you're not going to be in business for long. It's got to be desirable and safe work that instills a sense of pride and dignity to those doing the work. And then the fourth one, that we treat the livestock humanely. And everybody was able to agree on these. So now we had a foundation on which to assess the farm and then look at the performance of it according to these indicators. So what we were moving from was a farm that emphasized production over everything else. We produced over 500 hogs a year when I got there, and we sold them all to Swift in Louisville, and they all got turned into pork products, and we lost money on every single one. The problem was the students didn't know we were losing money on every one because we didn't share the numbers. These were only numbers that faculty and staff had access to. So once we started sharing the numbers and students saw what a disastrous method of farming that this was, to sell commodities on the scale, they were much more open to the idea to look at alternatives. So we moved from this model, which could not support a family farm, to try to set a goal where we looked at production, processing, marketing, and consumption. So more of a value chain or a life cycle analysis of the farm as opposed to just maximization of production. And here our goal was to have enough net revenue from the farm that it could, in theory, support a full-time family farm. So I began to consolidate data, and we tracked indicators, and I shared these with the students every year at that fall meeting. I shared them with faculty and staff, too. Sometimes they didn't want to see some of these numbers. And these are just a few. Some of them are financial, like our net returns, or inputs, like purchased feed for livestock, or seeds, or peat, or, in this case, fertilizer use. That big drop you see in fertilizer use was when we transitioned 84 acres of cropland to organic. So we now have 500-acre farm with 100 acres of certified organic land and then 400 acres of conventional land. But look what it did to our fertilizer use when we did that. Some of the other ones. How much of our food was being consumed locally versus being sent away? So we had the dining hall. They were buying a lot. The farmer's market, we were selling a lot there. And then we had some consolidated indicators looking at gross returns per acre. And this is where students could begin to discuss the possibility of maybe eliminating enterprises or expanding other enterprises based on their performance. If you look at what you're getting per acre here with horticulture, dwarfing cattle, those cowboys aren't standing so tall and proud anymore, but maybe wondering, what are we doing wrong and what can we do to fix it? I did the survey again 4 years after we implemented these changes. So then we have a cohort of students that have all been exposed to the same program. So it was the same, it was so 8 years after my first survey, we did the same survey with a few extra questions, and I did it during an April labor meeting, handed it to the students as they walked in, and I asked them how it was serving them. I had 35 students before in 2003. This time I had 48 because we'd expanded the labor program. And I added questions about those two farm goals to the survey so students could tell me about what they thought of the farm. Here's that same question. To what extent is your work experience on the farm contributed to your education? Look what happened. It fell off. From 2003 to 2011, we actually, it seemed, were performing worse. The other question, how has it complemented your academic experience? Again, this one fell off a bit, so we were starting to get a little bit worried about the changes that had been made. Then I teased out the data to look, and here's what was striking was that in 2003, 89% of our students were majors. In 2011, just over 60% were majors. So we had almost 40% of the students working on the farm were not majoring in agriculture. So this could have had a pretty profound effect on the way they answered that question. We break them apart into major and non-major. Those two questions, we see that the majors respond much more positively. When you look at how it contributed, the majors see very much, much higher than the non-majors. And then this question especially, how has it complemented your academic education? Of course, you would expect that. They're majoring in agriculture, and they're also working on the farm. To what extent does it serve as a laboratory? Pretty good there, but look at this one. To what extent does it serve as a model? Not so good, as many thought it was very much as not at all. So you tease this apart, And here, it's the exact opposite. The non-majors are saying it's performing pretty well, but the majors don't like what they're seeing, it seems. As many say, not at all is very much. So why not? Here's some of the answers given. Too dependent on fossil fuels. Uses too much water. Too many livestock. Still requires fertilizers and herbicides. Livestock aren't profitable. Relies too much on free student labor. They actually aren't free, but they don't get minimum wage. Imported seeds. And then here's some critics of the organic. Requires too much land, and then pasturing our livestock. Our livestock are all pastured, so that requires too much land. Okay, so moving on here, though, if you look at what's happening with new students, we're actually attracting more students than before. Our numbers in introductory courses, this is our intro course, this is our introductory plant science course, and this is our introductory animal science course. So it's still too early to look at the number of graduates, but over the last 2 years, the number of students entering the program, or at least exploring the program, has increased. What about the future? This tension over the sustainability question, actually, while we were concerned at first, it's a good thing. It's a source of conversation, and it's a great seed to start conversations in just about any liberal arts course. The transparency in the management records is key. Students need to be given all of that information, and then we need to challenge ourselves to make these enterprises realistic. So that's what we're looking at in the future. Our students have a lot of decisions to make, and we hope that that well-rounded education, that citizen scholar with the experience they get on the farm, will serve them as they deal with all of this. So thanks.